My guy on social media says the entire strength and conditioning staff of the Braves should be fired immediately because everybody's on the IL.
You know, it has been commented on. I don't want to look. I don't want to get anybody's pocket. I don't want to see people losing their jobs. But, I mean, if I ran this club, there'd be a new hitting instructor, and I'd definitely be talking to some people that, I don't know, maybe we need to be doing yoga between innings with some of these dudes.
Man, appreciate that. It put him up, C. Dukes. Mike Bell, ATL. He says, Braves do this every 5 or 6 years. Same with the Hawks. It feels that way. You go through these stretches.
Yep.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell on a Wednesday. Tomorrow we're back at camp. Falcons training camp. Morning shift will be there. Steakhouse, Andy and Randy. We will wrap things up at Hooters Mall of Georgia. So come hang out with us. But we got a special guest in studio, and it's so cool because – I like to tell you guys there are people behind the scenes that people aren't familiar with that have real knowledge and certainly insight into certain guys around the league. And Desmond Walker, who is joining us right now in studio, is a pass rush trainer. He's been doing this for a long time. And ironically, he works with a couple of guys on our Falcons football team, but he other works with other guys around the NFL. So got Des to come in because Des, I'll be honest, man. I don't know. You were like, I don't know, man. Come on. I don't know. But thank you for coming in. And you know, we always try to bring you the backstory, some insight into things that you don't get anywhere else. And so sometimes I say things on the air and people go, you're crazy. And then it happens.
Absolutely.
And a lot of that has to do with people like yourself. First of all, give a little bit of history, man, because people certainly want to know who you are and your background before we start talking about some of the guys you're training and what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. So first of all, I'm a pass rush coach, pass rush specialist, work with a lot of the top NFL players in the NFL, guys like Cam Hayward, Grady Jarrett, Leonard Floyd, Nnamdi Medebike, Alex Highsmith. I could keep going on. College guys from that I trained since high school, from Mikael Williams, Kyle Kinard, Gursky Award winner, guys like Jadeveon Clowney. So I've been around the way of helping guys get over the hump, Adolphe Owe, and I go around and I help guys get sacks, basically.
And sacks do increase.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely.
That's fascinating, man, because Mike, that resume, that's impressive. I mean, you just went off the top. I'm like, we know him.
Well, and that's about relationships. You talked about your relationship with Big Chuck Smith, Joe.
Yeah, Big Chuck.
And Chuck has been, last time we had Chuck in studio, I made him turn like red. I go, Chuck has made millions of dollars instructing players, but getting guys ready for the draft. And then all those symposiums, all those things where everybody comes together, you know, the pass rush camps. These guys, all the elites are in on this stuff.
Oh, no, absolutely. Pass rush, this is a new era of football now. Guys not just going eye formation and just, I mean, you got the tush push, but outside of that, man, these guys airing it out type deal. So now the question is, you know, you get some players that are not productive in college and they go to the NFL. Damn, how you get 10 sacks? Because it's a new era. You know what I mean? Guys got to throw that ball down the field. So with guys throwing the ball down the field, guys need to work on their primary and their counter pass rush moves. And that's where, you know, myself come in, and obviously with Chuck Smith being the OG of high-performance skill D-line training, who started this, and they know that they need that to hit that next level.
Yeah, and by the way, just to put that in perspective, because we had Chuck on a couple of weeks ago, he's with the Ravens now and has been for the last few years, but they have been 1 or 2 in sacks in the league since he got there.
Yeah, OG.
Since he got there. So that's real. Now, the good news is, you're working with a couple of our Falcons. Now, we had Leonard Floyd on yesterday. Mike, we had such a good time with Leonard Floyd.
Leonard was spilling the tea about some of our new teammates, like James Pierce Jr. talked about our quarterback talking some ish and loving his competitive vibe. But, you know, you know Flo, as Carl said, you know, he's a country guy. We got a little bit out of him yesterday. He's kind of a low-key dude.
Yeah, if you got some out of Flo, man, y'all got a real comfortable type deal. But, yeah, man, Flo I want to talk about Flo the person for. Great, chill dude, you know, loves the people around him, and he wants the people around him to succeed. So when he, you know, has that fellowship, he'll go above and beyond for you, regardless of what field you're in.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It was funny because when we got him, Des, I'll be completely honest, literally we were on the show like this. Word comes down, hey, Fowler's going to sign Leonard Floyd. And I had a sour taste in my mouth because we had done this the year before with a guy that didn't have anything left in the tank. Mike, am I right?
Correctamundo.
And we went out and we got a guy that we thought last year was going to really come in and affect the pass rush. And I was like, okay, I'm not sure. And then I start calling guys like you and guys I know with the Rams. And they were like, look, Flo still got a lot in the tank. You guys are going to get good play out of him, and he's going to get 6, 7, 8 sacks depending on what the scheme, because we didn't know at that time, you know, what the situation was going to be. But with that said, we asked him yesterday. We're visiting with Desmond Walker, guys, trainer in the National Football League, multiple guys around the league, pass rushers. But I said, what's your go-to move? And he would not say to Mike and I, he said, these guys, listen.
I ain't giving it up.
Yeah, it's proprietary.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But you teach all these different techniques, though, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, he's not trying to spill all the beans. Because remember, when you're a 10-year vet, you got to recommit yourself to the game every year. Mm. So what I like to tell people, Kobe number 8 wasn't the same as Kobe number 24.
True.
So the same thing as I'm aging as a pass rusher, I got to understand, okay, I might have done this the year before, but I want to do something a new year that I didn't even put out on film yet. So now it's the element of what? Getting production off of things that you can work on. And then obviously you got your bread and butter that you can turn on film and YouTube and see what you won with. So that's the element. How you going to keep growing yourself each year? And part of the things of with me working with these like 8, 10 years plus vet, we can't be the same next year. We got to commit ourselves, whether it's using speed, power, your movement, your head fake, whether, you know, us working on beating multiple blockers with double teams. So that's the part where he really means off of that on that aspect.
Is that hard, though? I mean, Dez, when you talk about when you've done something for 10 years.
For sure.
And now I'm coming to you and I'm going, all right, I got to be productive. How hard is it to change those habits?
No, it's hard. It's hard because, you know, the first thing you're going to go to what you've been winning with for a long time. Mm-hmm. But now you got to understand that pass rush, even though it's the social media aspect and it grew the training, we're watching practices at NFL camps. That wasn't back then. Everybody wanted to keep everything in. But now you can see things online. So we're getting to my point. I was just saying is, you got to understand that this stuff it's not recreated. You know, it's just more visible. So you don't got to recreate the wheel of terms of how you're winning, but you also got to understand there's people that have been winning with other techniques before you. So now it's just like, I always like to convert to basketball. I love basketball. That was my first love. But from a pass rush essence, so the 92.9 fans can understand is, you got to be able to watch what's won in the past and watch what's winning now and come to a common ground of what can I do it for myself.
Hey, man, it's Desmond Walker live in studio. He is trainer to the stars, talking about pass rush. So the thing I was talking about with Carl off the air, the physical side of it, in the gym all the work. What are these guys doing that the average Joe, I'm not saying somebody's going to go out there and try to sack a quarterback, but is there anything for practical application for some of the dudes? Because everybody's trying to, you know, keep it together and come up, Carl, in this world, you know, and get back in shape. What are some of the things you're doing with these guys?
Well, first thing I work on is their vision. Everything I start with from their eyes. The next thing I talk about is their get off. All right, vision and get off, they go hand in hand. Then we focus on our hands, vision, get off, hands. Last thing I focus is on vision, get off, hands and hips. And those are four things that I believe that help guys get over the hump or become dominant pass rushers. Some guys be like, hey, how do you help X, Y, and Z? He's almost at 100 sacks. How do you help him? Shoot, I help him by keeping him accountable. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So not everything isn't always build someone from scratch. Now, there are moments of building someone from scratch, but then some elements is of helping guys getting over the hump, it'd be the 1%. It can be, oh, you lined up too wide. Oh, you need to follow through your rip. Oh, you need to add a slight tilt towards it, and that can help guys get over the hump. Mm.
Dez, we've not had, I'm talking about the Falcons,
okay,
a dominant pass rusher. And by the way, I was mentioning people like, Dukes, are you talking about Matthew Judon, guys? I was talking about Matthew Judon last year.
We speaking in code? Who you think you're talking about?
Well,
we loved it. We were excited, but he didn't bring any heat.
He didn't bring, I said we got a guy last year, and people are like, who are you talking about?
Matthew Judon. And you could tell because he had the red sleeves on. You could always watch the game and you knew.
Yeah, he didn't do it. And by the way, I said this to Mike. Guys, producers, everybody, he's not been signed anywhere, right? He's not been picked up.
He's on the float still.
Okay, so that just tells you. So that's what we were talking about. But we've not had a dominant pass rusher in a very long time.
Absolutely.
And I want to ask you, not necessarily about Flo, because we think Leonard Flo is going to be productive, but a guy like Ruka Roro. And you said to us before we started this interview, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, we're talking with Desmond Walker, trainer in the National Football League, a variety of guys around the league, not just Falcons, a bunch of different pass rushers, elite guys as well. You're from the same hometown?
Yeah, absolutely, yep.
As Rook?
313, what's up, Rook?
Did you know of him before, like, Clemson and his ascension to being one of the dominant defensive linemen?
I knew of him through Clemson, but we've got more connected on a pro level than a college level. Let me tell you something about Luke without spilling the beans of what we're planning to do in X, Y, and Z. The one he's seeking information
of how being great type.
Okay. And you want to start with that, because if you seek, you know, you can get production through the aspect of just becoming a smarter pass rusher. So I'm liking that aspect in terms of, hey, how do I look doing X, Y, and Z? How do I look with my hands? How do I look in my stance? Like, he wants to get, you know, the small things right early. So that's one big key thing about. But I think that Rook, you know, Leonard Floyd, Eben Katie, and Rook, in my eyes, are going to be the three guys that help the people around them be better, and as well as them the guys that's going to come in and have a lot of production off rip, especially with this new defense.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you know, not just with eyes of, oh, I believe, no, I can see that right away early, especially comparing them to the defense of last year. So those are three, you know, those are the three-headed monsters that I can see. Flo with the consistency, leadership, you know what you're going to get out of him. Eben Katie with the speed, with the, you know, year three is usually when a lot of guys take a lot of jump type deal. And obviously with Rook, man, we haven't seen him at his best yet.
We haven't.
He's been hurt. And I was on the radio show last year with I forgot the guy's name, out in Baltimore. Okay. And they were so, hey, he hasn't done this yet. He hasn't, man, just give him time. Pass rushers, just give them time. Because some guys, if you look through Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd, or some of these other great pass, they don't start hitting until, what, year four. You know, like you said earlier, going back to your point, you want to see flashes.
Right.
But with him being healthy, you're going to see flashes.
Because, Dez, yeah. I need him to flash. Because the only thing is, he was a second round. Before you came in studio, sure, as guys were talking with Desmond Walker, pass rush expert, training all these dudes, like our man Leonard Floyd, we were saying, when you get drafted where he was drafted, all of a sudden, like, you're just on the cusp of the first round. I mean, he might not know it,
but
there's people saying he's got to be that man. Mm-hmm. And soon we need it this year.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Man, he's going to make, you know, pass rushers, like you going into what you were saying, you're gonna
just
make,
be disruptive.
Yeah, being disruptive. You're gonna make your mistakes.
Yes.
But as long as you can see them flashes with the mistakes, we can take it as long as we come in and we can make them corrections early. That's the whole thing that you want to see, especially out the young guys coming up. But I like Rook, man. I really, really like him.
Yeah. And you mentioned Arnold Ebiketie. We hadn't really talked about him because we've been so focused on James Pierce, and I do want to get your opinion on him, as well as Jalen Walker. But we got to take a timeout. We're going to come back and do that, okay? Want to get your opinions on those guys, because those two rookies we have high expectations for. And then we'll ask about Arnold Ebiketie. Mike and I really haven't spent a lot of time with because he's been here. He's been leading the team in sacks. But we keep thinking, all right, he's got to be a double-digit guy. I want to get your opinions on all of that. Stay right there, guys. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hanging out in studio, special guest Desmond Walker, pass rush specialist, helps a bunch of guys around the NFL. We're talking about edge guys and pass rushers.
He's working with Oren during the commercial break, just did 15 burpees.
Wow.
Oren just passed out.
Well, is he okay? Did you get him some
water?
You
okay? How you feeling, big boy? I mean, are you sweating out there?
I feel like I'm going to get 7 sacks right now.
See, he just improved Orange's performance in just a commercial break.
It's incredible. Hey, man, I want to remind you, Ford the One is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Wouldn't that be something? Orange shows up
by the way,
camp.
You ever do burpees at the gym?
Oh, brutal.
Hell no.
Brutal.
I mean, I know people do them. I know they serve a purpose.
Brutal.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Hell, I haven't done legs, I told you yesterday, since 87.
It's like those up-downs in football that your coach used to make you do, right? And you just, you know,
right.
We're going to do 100. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And you get to like 50. Get up, son. You can't make it. My arms hurt.
And by the way, at the gym, I hate people that take their workout all over the gym, you know, doing the deep leg bends. Or just, you know, stay over in your spot. Go do that in the parking lot. Get out of my face.
Hey, man, Desmond, Falcon fans are digging this and getting some insight. Again, he trains, has trained Leonard Floyd, who we spoke with yesterday on the show. If you guys missed it, it's online at odyssey.com. Talked about Rook and his belief there. And I want to start with Arnold Ebiketie before we get to our rookies. You feel like he's in a really good spot, Arnold Ebiketie?
No, absolutely. I feel like Arnold Ebiketie is in the absolute spot just because, one, we didn't see the flashes. He didn't felt a lot of the good, the bad, and now he knows what he needs to improve on the aspect of getting more sacks into the quarterback. But absolutely, Arnold Ebiketie blowing up for 10 sacks, that would not surprise me at all at the end of the season. Not one bit. You know, I like what the plan that we have going forward into the season, and with him sticking with the plan, man, I wouldn't be surprised to see a new double-digit sacker in the NFL next year with Arnold Ebiketie.
I hope so.
Well, because the thing is, and there's a couple guys, we talk a lot about Pitts, but on the defensive side, this is a contract year. This is his last year. He's been solid. Not like he's been bad. He's been solid. And we can debate, has he had the supporting cast? Is this a year because of what we've added, what we just talked about last segment, where Ebiketie pops? But, I mean, if not for the Falcons, he's working for a contract with somebody else.
No, absolutely. And adding more in-depth into it, you got with Flo and Ebiketie, you got two different types of rushers on each different side. You know, it's almost like yin and yang. You got a power guy, you got a speed guy. Yeah. So that naturally they just, you know, it works together off rip right there.
Dez, I want to get your opinions. And again, just generally speaking, we haven't seen Jalen Walker in a Falcon uniform yet. So we're waiting to see that. We're seeing Pierce at practice. And again, we're talking a little bit more about him over the last few days because Jalen has been in – hold on, let me get it right, Mike. He has been in the program. It is modified practice plan.
What does that mean?
Who knows?
You know what that means? None of your business. That's what that means.
It's true.
That's exactly what that means. Yeah. You know what? We need a rim shot. But Warren's passed out from those burpees.
Yeah.
So tell us your thoughts on Jalen, his ability, man. And then, again, not to compare and contrast, because I think they're two different dudes, too. I'm talking about Pierce and Jalen. What do you think about
those
guys?
For sure, they're two different dudes. You know, even though with them being two different dudes, I feel like the Falcon organization will keep it simple for them. Simple early. You know, they're going to have vets to, you know, rely on in terms of the aspect of not just – it's not always just X and O's. Like, what do you do as an NFL player? You know, and getting a little bit of insight when you're an NFL player, you can't just go to practice, go home, get on NCAA. No, you got to do the extra stuff to help you get over the hump. So they're going to learn on that aspect. But the good thing is they got vets, even though they was taken early, relatively early or whatnot. But I can see them being asked to do one thing and just going – because – y'all know we're craving for pass rush.
Yes,
you know,
right.
Bottom of the league last 2 years, so that's really going to be the I don't want to be like that, but
spill
the beans. So you know they're going to be asked to do that, and I think with them doing a good job of that, they're going to keep spooning each and next element of where they want them to be. So you know who's going to be better early? I mean, hey. You can go, like, it depends who's going to be the strong side, who's going to be the weak side, who's going to have more, you know, two-way goals. You know, we're not on the insight to know that aspect. We just need to see them on the field. And then, you know, let's just see the flashes and just go from there.
We talked a lot about, you know, it's Jalen Walker. We were surprised. If you're just tuning in, guys, Desmond Walker's with us, guys, pass rush expert. We were talking about him working out with a number of guys, Falcons, familiarity with Chuck Smith and his program. We were talking about, you know, okay, wow, this guy just fell to his attention, Jalen Walker. Then we got Pierce. We're talking about Pierce's upside. There were a couple other guys. One of the guys we were talking about earlier off the air is Mike Green, who winds up in Baltimore with Chuck.
Mike.
That's a guy that Carl and I were talking about all pre-draft. What do you think he's going to be?
Man, Mike Green and Chuck Smith, shoot. Dang. I mean, I don't know, Phil Jackson. I mean, I don't know how you want to call it. When they got when you got a pass rush coach and then a dude that just live, breathe, and eat, Pat, man, it's going to be some good talks in terms of how they can create different chaos in different ways. Because it's going to be to a point where, like, man, let's just focus on hitting the quarterback. We know we're going to get sacks. So now when you can hit the quarterback and get sacks, man, you just causing so much pressure in different avenues of production, and you're helping the back end too. Man, that's going to be a deadly combination with Chuck and Mike Green.
Well,
but
it's funny you bring that up because, like, I feel like we, as the Falcons, and I think we filled our needs, right? Because I said go defense. I don't care every pick. Mm. They did.
Okay.
I think the sixth or seventh round guy was an offensive lineman. But I look at that situation, and they went Green. Well, they went Malachi Starks first, right, out of Georgia. And then they went Green, I think it was. And the point is, like, they already have dudes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they added to that. And that's like when you start talking about a Super Bowl caliber type defense, like this is why I believe they're going to be back in the mix on top of the fact they got Lamar and all that stuff. But like Josh Allen, the Bills, Mike, they drafted for exactly what they needed, and they feel like it's going to get them over the hump against the Kansas City Chiefs because that's who everybody's got to beat. And it's just – it's interesting, man. Like, you think, oh, we got enough. No. We're going to double down on that and continue to draft these guys.
And going to your point, is this draft was different. You know, we didn't see all these defensive linemen and linebackers. Yeah, heck, you have Kyle Kanara, who's a dog. He was the defensive top player with the Nagurski Award winner later in the draft. So now – in this era, kind of like them J.J. Watt drafts where it was just a plethora of guys that came out, you're going to see this in these next couple of years in this new era of D-linemen or whatnot. But,
Because of what? They're more versatile?
No, it's just more. It's just one of them. I mean, I had a scout I talked to during the season last year. It was the first time that they weren't going to college games watching quarterbacks. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
So now we're in the new in the draft showed that. You know what I'm saying? So now my aspect of it is there's going to be a lot of new emerging guys from different areas. Like even when Max Crosby came out late, did everybody know he was going to be?
No. Right.
That's my point. It's going to be a lot of those guys. Now you just hope that you got the guy, you know, on that end. But, man, this draft was unique. This might not happen another 4-5 years because now next year's focus is going to be what? Something different, more on the offensive side. And it's going to keep flipping. And then it might go to O-line. So, you know, we're just going to have to see, man. Only time will tell.
Right. The 2011 draft that Julio got drafted in, that was a draft with T.J. Watt and Kerrigan.
Yeah, Alden Smith. There you go. Yeah.
All of them. It was just a bunch of dudes that came out in that draft. Because, yeah, we talked about Shamar Stewart just got his deal. But to Desmond's point, the highest paid guys are quarterbacks, and it's the guys trying to get the quarterbacks on the ground. Then you could throw some wide receivers in that mix. That's one thing. We've got to go get things cooking now while we got our quarterback under contract.
Yeah.
We were talking about last year, Jared Verse. And I got excited FSU tickets watching him play every year. This guy's a beast. They had Fisk. They lose Aaron Donald, but that's a team that's really drafted that position well.
They didn't stocked up. They had Kobe Turner.
Right.
You know, he's up there with 9-8. I mean, yeah, they had one big old dinosaur, you know, T-Rex. Now they got a bunch of what's the miniature
Raptors?
Raptors. They got Raptors everywhere. So, right. So they did it the right way, man.
And we're kind of hopefully doing the same because Raheem was part of that process.
Yeah, for sure.
Des, before we get out of here again, Desmond Walker. People are already asking us. I get it. I just got it. Does he train high school kids? Because we're in a high school crazy state,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, it is. So, just out of curiosity, I know you've talked about the college guys that you train, but do you train high school guys?
Absolutely. I've been training high school guys forever. I train high school guys. I have high school events throughout the off season and in season. You know, I train mainly out of Suwannee and sometimes in Chamblee as well. So I'll mix it up back and forth. I had guys like Mikael Williams, Chris Miller at Georgia, who I've been training since ninth grade and going all the way up. A lot of guys, when you're in high school and you feel like you want your son to turn that corner or not just be dominant in high school, you want them to be dominant at the college level, you can reach out to me on Instagram at DEZ_55, both on IG, TikTok. If you would like to reach out on Facebook, it's under Pass Rush Specialist.
Nice.
So either or that you can reach out to me. But I'm just letting you know right now, if you want your son to dominate, if your son not dominating and he's on the bench, same deal. It doesn't matter. I don't care if he has 5 stars, 4 stars, 2 stars. He don't even know about stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you playing 8-man football, send him over here and I'll get them pass rush and I'll get them dominating during the season.
Mikael Williams, we just talked about this draft class. We were surprised he went ahead of Jalen Walker. But, you know, that's John Lynch, the 49ers. They saw what you were working with, and they see the upside for Mikael Williams.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, Mikael's a dog, man. And him going that high, you know, didn't surprise me on that aspect. But, like I said, it's about
I
teams are looking for fit. Do he fit here? So even if you go higher, you might be worthy of a draft pick, but certain teams, they want 6'4" D tackles. Now you might get some teams that they'll take a 6'5", 5'11" D tackle that can get upfield. So it really depends on what squad it is. It's not even about 1, 2, 3 for now. Financially, it's a different story. But from an aspect of having success individually, it fit matters.
One last thing. I'm looking at all these guys that you've trained, and a lot of them, you know, elite guys. Would you say the one thing that they all have in common, whether it's Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Parsons, who's about to get his – should get his deal, motor, how big of that plays into this?
Oh, motor is
– because all these guys, they fall into that category, right?
For sure.
Like the elite guys, there's a lot of good guys – but then these elite guys, it's like their motor is different.
Oh, for sure. You got to have motor. The way I like to phrase it is, so a lot of – in this era, because remember, this era is a little bit different from back then from the exposure of pass rush. They see all these different combinations, all these different types of pass rush move, the spin to a rip to a hump to sometimes you just got to finish. You know, we didn't see pass rushers can lead the NFL in sacks, but they can't. You got to treat your finish just as important as your move or your technique. So when you see these guys, like you said, motor, some guys, they'll spin, miss, get put on their butt, get back up, keep, like you said, man, best pass. John Randall.
Right.
Couldn't stop his motor, man.
The want to.
Couldn't stop his motor. Right. Robert Mathis, man. Shoot. All them guys, man, this era, probably one of the best motors, Max Crosby, man. Now, when you put motor and technique together.
Dangerous.
Dangerous now.
Yeah.
Dangerous for sure.
Good stuff, man. Des Walker, appreciate you. Desmond Walker, guys, right here in the A. And guys are coming through, and you just never know. Man, we hope the Falcons pass rush is going to be improved. And he got some real insight today with Desmond.
I guess now we go, that's Des Walker, Joe. Like we do with Chuck Smith.
Hey, appreciate you guys for having me, man. So I want to tell everybody out there, all the pass rush family, live life every day like it's 3rd and 8.
Oh, there it is.
I like it.
All right, man. Appreciate you stopping by. We got Yeah Man, No Man on the way. We got a lot more to get into. If you're just joining us, Ronald Acuna, we're waiting on the latest about whether he's going to miss significant time with this Achilles situation. He has now been placed on the 10-day IL, but it's just not good news all the way around. More on that coming up as well. Thanks to Desmond Walker for stopping by. Good stuff, man. Interesting. And look, at the end of this season, let us pray that we are talking about one of the best pass rush seasons we've had for an Atlanta Falcon football team in a long time. And Mike says this, and I'm a true believer in it as well. Guys, we are in an offensive age, okay? Look, you still have to score points. This doesn't let the offense off the hook, Zach Robinson.
Right.
This doesn't mean that Michael Penix can't be special. Or Bijan. But we have to feel better about where we have been defensively if we're really going to take the next step. And that's why this is so important. So, look, the offense has got to do its job, and if we're putting up 28 a game, which is very reasonable. I mean, like, that's not out of the question. I would tell you 24, and you're in every game, and it just comes down to a field goal in the National Football League. But the other side of that is we cannot allow, and this gets to game one, right? Game one, I'm telling you right now, is a huge start to the season. Baker Mayfield cannot be back there, Mike, having miles and miles of time and just running around and making plays all day.
You heard it, man. Leonard Floyd told us yesterday. You heard the interview. Rewind on the Odyssey app. Got to get off to a great start. We talk about used to be breaking the season up into quarters, but now, you know, all these extra the extra week. But you get the idea. And it's not duck walk, Carl. It's going to be tough.
All right, man. Coming up, we'll talk some college football. Top of the hour, we'll get you caught up on the Ronald Acuna situation. We are patiently waiting to hear. And look, we're not. I'm not expecting bad news, I'll be honest. The way he jogged off the field, I think it's just a pain that he was like, oh, what is that? And now we just need to be very cautious with our star. Mike, I want to ask you this before we get to Yeah Man, No Man, or maybe we'll examine it in the 4 o'clock hour. Jacob says, Dukes, it's time to trade Acuna. Are you on that train?
Well, that's your total reset. That's your hard reset.
That's exactly
that's
right.
That's where you trade Ozzie Albies, or you know, there's a number of things you would do in that sense. And I don't think they're prepared to do that. But, you know, when I mentioned, you know,
Mike, he's so cheap.
That's the thing. You've got the control with the salary, which, of course, you know these guys love that. You know, I mean, I know. And for all the folks who root for ownership, yay! But, you know, the thing about Acuna, when I brought up I don't want him to become Mike Trout, some guys say he already is. Is he already Mike Trout
no,
with these injuries?
Go look at the amount of games Trout has missed. It's not even close. Now, you're going to say he missed 21 with the right ACL and we win a World Series. Came back 10 months after, right? And then this year, you talk about him returning. He only missed basically a month and a half of the season before coming back and becoming an all-star. Right. He came back and was the best player on your team and didn't even play in the first 6 or 8 weeks of the season. So Trout is a different animal because of the amount of time. He's got more time in the league. But go look at his log. He's missed an enormous amount of games. All right, more on this coming up. Right now, though, we got to get to Yeah Man, No Man.
All right, guys, happy hump day as we get into a Wednesday edition of Yeah Man, No Man. Had me a nice chicken pot pie last night.
Really?
Love chicken pot
pie. Hot and steamy, and you went chicken pot pie.
Yeah, and that's going to be my first Yeah Man, No Man. Chicken pot pie is a go-to no matter what time of year it is.
You know what's funny? We were having lunch with our boss the other day. And we were down at a great spot, Saints and Council, which is right here at one of the many great restaurants at Colony Square. And it was grilled cheese with some tomato bisque. Mm. And I was like, I'm thinking about it. It's freaking 98 degrees out. You know what I mean? How about with a Caesar with chicken?
I ended up getting a salad too, black and blue. Steak salad. But when Mike said that, because I'm a grilled cheese freak, I love it. Right. I mean, like, and it's funny. My mom used to leave grilled cheeses. Like, when I came home, I was a latchkey kid. I helped come home from school, and she would have a grilled cheese waiting in the stove because my parents both worked. And so I ate grilled cheeses all the damn time. Anytime I come across one, and I say this to anybody, like, if you know of a restaurant around town, tell us. We will go try that grilled cheese.
Right.
But it was too hot. Mike's right. Like, it was like he said that, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to have that. Never mind.
Yeah.
But chicken pot pie, I'm a fan in the fall and the winter.
Really?
I can't do it right now. I just can't. And I'm glad you love it, but, like, I love chicken pot pie, but I can't do it right now.
Oh, man, I can eat it. If it's a good one, I can eat it any time of the year.
You're crazy. I like you, but you're crazy.
All right, let's get serious. All right. With the amount of offensive weapons on the Falcons offense, yeah, man, no, man. Kyle Pitts can still have a successful season with less than 1,000 receiving yards and less than 8 touchdowns.
Wow. Okay, because that's interesting, Day-Day. Mike, the offense could be really good without him getting to 1,000 yards, and let's say he's got 6 touchdowns. He doesn't have 8.
Right.
How good is the offense? And how much are you putting that on Kyle Pitts to say we should have gotten more if the offense is one of the top 5 in the league, let's say, top 7 or 8, and we have a really fluid team that's scoring in the red zone? See, that's misleading, because what we're going to do is look and say, well, Kyle Pitts didn't have his 1,000 yards. He only had 6 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He had, let's say, 850.
Right.
But the offense was so damn good, covered it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, what if Bijan had 14 touchdowns last year, okay?
Think about that. Everyone who had him, I saw an article about, you know, hey, what are the Falcons do to maximize Bijan? Well, just a few more red zone touches, I guess, because he was my fantasy. He won me my fantasy like a lot of folks last year.
Mm-hmm. My point is, Mike, he could be covered up by some of this other stuff, and it's like the offense is flowing and it's really good. He's playing his part, but he's not dominating the way we expect. I will tell you, you're asking me, yeah, man, no, man, he can still have a successful season. I would tell you yes. But is it successful enough for us to pay him? And that's where I'm going to say no, man.
Mm.
By the way, I know it's a sidebar to your question because we started this thing talking about Acuna. I'm doing my best because you can do it with artificial intelligence and you can find out how many games Mike Trout has missed due to injury.
AI.
And that's 382 career games for Mike Trout.
Wow.
Well, I haven't even added up the full numbers for this year. I'm already at 251 for Ronald Acuna.
Okay. He missed two seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting up there.
He's missed two seasons.
It's not full Trout, but anyway, I'm sorry to stop her. Back to you, Damian Day-Day Lewis.
So, you're yeah man, no man on Kyle Pitts, Mike.
I'm going to say the benchmark I had was, you know, the yardage can be 800 to 900 because there's a lot of guys ahead of him that have 800, 900. So I'll say around 900. I need more than 6 touchdowns. Over-unders, 8 to 10 has been my number since he got drafted.
Mm.
So that'd be a no man. I think what was the number you put out?
Less than 10. No. Less than 8 touchdowns.
No, more than 8. Got to be over.
Got to be more than 8.
You know, but anything. It'll also be very confusing for how we approach, because, you know, there'll be Pitts fans out there going, re-sign him. And then I'll say, no, that's not enough. That's still he still doesn't give you enough touchdowns over his 4 years.
So you don't think he's worth re-signing? Say we're, like Carl said, to his point, we're a top 5 offense in the league at the end of the year.
If he's a big driving force in it, and, you know, again, the organization will make that determination. How much is he doing that work? Because Carl said it before last year. He can be the linchpin and taking us to another level. But then we got sidetracked with the Cousins, you know, sideshow.
Right.
So I just think a guy with all that talent, and maybe this is the year with the whole team getting behind him, hearing all the noise, this is the year where it'll be a nice, you know what, it'll be a hell of a problem to have to figure out how the money works, right?
All right, yeah, you're right. All right,
hold on, Danny, one thing. You talked about Ronald and games missed. Do you factor in, like, Pitts' health this year in terms of also how successful he's going to be?
I don't want to hear no more about no knee injuries or lower leg injuries for Pitts. Because now he's a guy where, if you listen to the guys that are real dyed-in-the-wool Pitts guys, it's like, well, so the injury from 22 has affected him over 3 seasons?
Right.
Because we knew Arthur Smith talked about it, Carl, in 23.
Right.
Was he not 100% last year? Right. I mean, is that the excuse? Or is it just gross negligence on route running and focus?
All right, we'll see how it all pans out. Hopefully he has a season that makes it worth us keeping him around. All right, Tom Brady recently had this to say about Scottie Scheffler. after he heard
what's going on with Scottie Scheffler,
saying that Scheffler, that is, saying he'd rather be a better father and husband than good golfer. Here's what Brady had to say. My question is, why are those mutually exclusive? Sure, they're different blocks of the pyramid, but they're part of the same pyramid. They're connected. For instance, I think part of being a great father is being a great example of doing what it takes to take care of your family. I chose to do it by playing football. My dedication to the sport, hours of practice, moments where when I was laser focused, those were times when I believe I was doing the best possible thing for my family and my kids. By prioritizing my profession and teaching by example, what it takes to be really good at your job, what it takes to follow through on commitments, what it takes to be a great teammate, and showing them also by example that work is a big part of our lives. Yeah, man, no, man, maybe Brady could have taken a page out of Scotty's book, and he wouldn't have to watch Joaquin on summer vacations with his kids.
Right.
Notice you said good father and not good husband there, Day Day. Yes. Good father, not good husband.
I mean, Carl, there are going to be people out there that, and again, if you're cool with your wife getting with the judo instructor because, you know, you had to go back for one more year, nothing, we wouldn't be dealing with all this if he just retired and stayed retired, and he would have gone out in a pretty acceptable route, because that game against the Rams, they had a hell of a comeback, just came up short, and walk away. Yeah. And that's kind of like the way, you know, Joe Montana losing the AFC Championship, right? You go out with in a blaze of glory and have to worry about some judo instructor stooping your wife, hanging out with your kids down in Costa Rica with his shirt on.
So here's the thing. And this is the part, like, Tom is acting, this is revisionist history for me. And I'm not in his family, but all these guys who are uber successful like this lose out on family.
Yeah.
There's a sacrifice.
Yeah.
And for Tom to be as good as he was and as committed, okay, and I said this, early 2000s, I got a chance to go meet him and all this stuff, and they had won their first Super Bowl, second Super Bowl, and Tom was like, hey, I said, how long are you taking off? Because guys like, you know, summer, all off season or whatever. He's like, a week.
Wow.
And he was back to it.
Right.
That was early in his career. So my thing with this is, like, to hear Scottie Scheffler say what he said, Mike and I discussed it a little bit going into the Open Championship, where he was like, hey, it's not the most important thing. I appreciate it. He's great at what he does. And I don't know. See, we're going to look at Scheffler now and say, can he do what Tiger did? Because that's the trajectory he's on, right?
Right.
And for Tom Brady, I just feel like there were sacrifices, and we saw this at the end where Mike's talking about his divorce and all that. But, like, you cannot be a great dad, I'm sorry, when you are so committed to this thing over here because you're giving up something.
Right. And that's, look, in the old days, because, you know, there'll be people out there, you know, who like to take shots and complain about everything social media. Oh, it's so narcissistic of Tom. No, he's committed to his sport. And by the way, you ultimately help your children with generational wealth that other guys don't have, because they don't have the staying power that you did in the league and are able to command the kind of dollars you do in advertising and everything else. But the wellspring is your sport. It's your job. And, you know, up until about, I don't know, 25 years ago, guys could do all this and the wife took care of the kids and that was it.
Right.
But now you're a jerk for doing that. You know, so I see both sides of it. I also know that Tom is an egomaniac. He might not want to admit that, Carl, to your point. He always wants to present, you know, the best case possible. You know, like he's made mistakes. Everyone's human.
Right.
You know, but his job came first. And now if the kids turn out okay, then they're still okay. If the kids turn out and they're a hot mess, then maybe, you know, he made some wrong decisions.
They'll probably turn out okay and they'll be very good at jiu-jitsu. Right.
Look, even Tom Hanks. Sorry, I let Carl laugh on that. Yeah, and Carl, they'll be able to defend themselves.
Yeah. Oh.
Now, judo is, you know, it's tight. You wear that gi. You ever wear that gi? But the other thing is, like, you can be the best dad in the world and be the model citizen like Tom Hanks, and you can still have a screw up as a kid.
Yeah, that's
true.
You
know? So we'll see where it goes.
All right, that's a yeah, man.
Not,
no
by
man
the way, I'm not saying he's not a good dad, but,
right.
But you're not that great at whatever it is you do, and you don't just give
gotta,
up something.
Without right, there's got to be something has to compromise.
Just
in
the way it is. It's plain and simple. Yeah, I mean, everybody out there that wants to be like a gajillionaire,
right?
You can, but you're going to give up something.
But hey, look, one of my favorite books, The Right Stuff, about the Mercury 7 astronauts. Yes. That was their job. That was their life, and the family life suffered because they were dedicated to that.
Yeah.
You know, it's apples to oranges, but now you can't do that without being called selfish.
Yeah. All right, that's your Yeah Man, No Man for Wednesday, guys.
So, my AI with this, Mike, Trout, we got to talk about this. Trout hasn't been good in a long time.
Right. Oh, statistically, we're not even talking about the stats.
Correct. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I'm just doing pure games missed.
You got to go back, but he hasn't played 130 games in 7 years.
Right.
And that's like the bare minimum. When he was winning MVPs, he was playing 158, 156. Now, nobody plays a full 162, but my point is, like, he hadn't even come close over the last seven years.
And Ronald has played 156 games or more twice in his career.
All right. And by the way, Trout's played longer, okay? Came into the league in 11. So, but it's an interesting comparison when you start saying, hey, it feels like he's always hurt.
Of course, 20's the outlier. They only played 60 games.
Correct. And that's, yeah, everybody did. Hey, man, we're coming back. We got more to get to. We'll get back into this Ronald Acuna conversation. If you're just joining us, I told you so. It's Dukes and Bell.